Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible teaching church in Katy, Texas. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing it with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message, and God bless your week.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance today from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have reached the end. Unfortunately, not the end of the pandemic, at least not yet. We have reached the end of our sermon series on Daniel. And so our thoughts today on thinking about there's another in the fire, in a sense, will end as we're ending our sermon series, but let's guide our minds not towards the end of a sermon series, but much further down the line, to the end of the world, to Judgment Day. Picture yourself standing there on Judgment Day in the room. Not just any old room, but the room. As far as the eye can see across the room are file cabinets, stacked high, and they're deep and long. They're titles of different categories of things that have happened in your life. One of them is titled Friends, and you kind of smile a little bit and think, wow, I didn't know I had that many friends. Guess I did. There's quite a few in there that you had forgotten about as you pull open the file and look at a card or two and the details written there. But next to that one is another file that says, Friends I Have Betrayed. And you open that file and think maybe there's three or four in there, but it's way too deep, way too many cards. All these details about how you betrayed a friend during your life. And many of them were things like, my spouse needed a friend, but you made her or him feel lonely. Or, this person needed some listening time, a listening heart, but you were too busy. And you think to yourself, but I didn't know. And yet that somehow doesn't help anything. There are some other files with categories that make you smile, like favorite childhood victories, or favorite vacation moments. There's another one that makes you smile, not really because of what you're proud of, but because of the things contained in the file, things I yelled at my brothers and sisters. But then there's many other files that you really, really wish were not there. There's the file, when I thought more money equaled more happiness. Long, deep file with many cards. Lots of details on each one. There's the file, mindless prayers. There's the file, more emotional about this world than heavenly promises. There's the file, what I muttered under my breath at authority. People I refused to forgive. And then the one next to it, which was even bigger. When I was slow to forgive after losing my temper. There's the one that's the most embarrassing of all, lustful thoughts. And you cringe, you don't even want to look at that one. There's when I was inconsiderate and unsettled, always wanting more. When I took their words and actions in the worst possible way. You're in the room. It's not a pretty sight. And then, in a sense, things go from bad to worse. As the judge enters God, our Heavenly Father. And as you kind of see his shadow getting nearer, you try to quick pull some of the files out and bang them around and destroy them and make them disintegrate somehow, and it doesn't work. Well, you at least try to rip out a few cards and rip them up into shreds. But they're strong as steel. So you fall into a heap on the floor, and you just start to sob. And yet, deep down, you know whether I was working really hard to get rid of all this, or just sitting on the floor and crying about it, it's still the same. I still end up in the exact same spot, in the exact same room, with the exact same judge. What happens next? That's really what the verses of Daniel chapter 7 have to describe. As there's only one in control, thankfully there's another in the fire with us. Let's see what happens on this room, on this time, on Judgment Day. Beginning at verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, the hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. In Daniel's vision, there were 10 horns speaking very boastfully and arrogantly about God. And even though they are there on Judgment Day, in a sense, they're still boastful and unrepentant. That's what this verse is talking about. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Look at this powerful judge. There are some characteristics of him described here. First of all, thrones are set in place. He is omnipotent. And the last verse in particular makes that very clear, doesn't it? That his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. He is eternal. No beginning. No end. Always in the present. Doesn't even necessarily understand past, present, or future in a way of thinking, because he's the Ancient of Days. He's eternal. Time is something that he's independent of. He is holy. His clothing is white as snow. The hair of his head is white like wool. He can't stand sin at all. And guess what? There you are in the room with all those cards and all those details and all those categories. This judge took his seat. The river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. He is just. He will never make a mistake. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be fooled. He is omniscient. The court is seated, the books are open, and there you are. And then, someone else enters. And your first thought is, oh no, not him. Anyone but him. The Son of Man comes from the clouds of heaven, and he enters. And he pulls out one of the files. And you cringe as you think about what he is about to read. Intuitively, he goes for the worst one first. And he reads it, and he looks at you. And as your eyes lock, his cheeks look wet. And you think, I never knew I was hurting him with that. I never thought about personally hurting him with my sin. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, coming on the clouds of heaven, reaches into each file, reads each card, thinks about it a little bit, and then signs something at the bottom in a rich red color. It takes quite a while for him to go through every file and every card, but in the end, his name is at the bottom of every single detail that you are wishing was not there. Then, with a majestic, powerful, triumphant, and compassionate look on his face, he looks at you and announces, "It is finished." And then he turns to the judge, the Ancient of Days, holy, just, omnipotent, eternal, and says, even louder, "It is finished." The judge hears what he says and then announces with a big smile, "You are not guilty. Welcome to heaven. You are declared as holy as I am, without sin, now and forever. And you can hardly believe what you're hearing. And yet, you do." What a gift, isn't it, that Jesus pays for all of our sin? When you hear words like, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so," or words like, "Jesus forgives my sin and promises heaven as my home," don't ever forget that the amount of sin and the greater amount of forgiveness is not small. And that, dear Christian, is why it's so wonderful for us to remember who's always in control. That there's another in the fire with us at all times. That we have peace that passes understanding as we look forward to Judgment Day with anticipation. Yes, you can say that out loud. I am looking forward to Judgment Day. Because then we won't have to deal with a pandemic. We won't have to deal with ups and downs of life. We won't have to deal with I'm concerned or worried about the future. We won't have to deal with other people sinning against us or us sinning against them. It's all going to be a thing of the past as we gaze at our Savior, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in all their glory with so many more. Let that be your everything. Let that guide you more than anything else on this earth. As you think about today, as you think about tomorrow, as you make plans for the future, do your best, but don't ever set your heart on them. Instead, set your heart on things above, where your Savior lives, and one day you will also live. This is why, isn't it, that we are bothering to work on plans for phase 2, and God willing, open a preschool, and connect with many 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds in this area, as well as their parents and siblings, to teach them about Judgment Day, how it can be a happy day to look forward to, rather than a very scary day. Because could you even imagine being in that room with all of that history alone? Without Jesus? That's why we give our best. That's why we give our time and pray that God gives us opportunities to share his truth. That's why we give generous percentages of our income to the Lord for his ministry, for his work, so that more people can hear about the saving gospel. That's why we're willing to give our energy and thank God for our talents, whether we're going through a time that we like or a time that we don't like. We thank him because we know the final chapter, Judgment Day. We know who's in control always, him and not us or anyone else. And we use those thoughts. We use his heavenly promises to guide us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to give us patience, resilience, and joy. What a gift you have that you know who's always in control, the one who's on your side, the one who's always with you in the fire, no matter what fire might come up. Amen.
Time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. Could I ask you for one more favor? If you're enjoying this podcast, please don't forget to click subscribe and give us a rating. Just a few seconds of your time will help other people hear the simple, straightforward Bible message we offer. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.